The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hey, gentlemen, Woj tweeted, as team boards finalized today, the 1-2-3 of the NBA draft is increasingly firm. Per sources, Jabari Smith to Orlando, Chet Holmgren to Oklahoma City, and Paolo Banchero to Houston. Now, overnight, the odds had shifted to Paolo Banchero going first overall, but they have now been taken off the board. And now we bring in the one and only Jay Billis, who will be all over all of this tonight. First of all, good morning to you, Jay, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you guys.
Of course. I love the suit. All right, Jay, who do you think should be going number one?
Molly, it's a really tough call, I think, for Orlando, because you've got three really good players in Paolo Banchero of Duke, Chet Holmgren of Gonzaga, and Jabari Smith of Auburn. I lean toward Jabari Smith. He's got a little bit of Kevin Durant in his game. He's 6'10 with a long wingspan, can really shoot it. 42% from three, and he makes tough shots. He's got great range. He can operate in the mid post. And he's a good finisher at the basket. He just needs to get there more often. And he's also an excellent defender. It's not to say, like, Holmgren's got a higher ceiling, I think. There's not been a player quite like him in the NBA. At least there are parts of him, but not the whole thing. And Holmgren's got a chance to do something really special. But I'm leaning a little bit more toward Jabari Smith.
Jay, always great to see you, buddy. When I watched, the first time I saw Banchero, obviously, was the opener against the University of Kentucky to open the college basketball season. And I thought for sure he easily would be a top three pick. I came on the air talking about he may very well be the number one overall pick. I hadn't heard that much. As good as Jabari is, and I agree with you, I hadn't heard that much about him. So I'm asking, Banchero, when did any kind of slide take place in your mind? Because at one time, I had Seth Greenberg coming on here saying he didn't have him maybe top five to top seven. And then obviously you were hearing about him being top three. Talk to me about Banchero for a second and what the belief is about him in his game.
Yeah, it's interesting, Stephen A. I'm not sure that Banchero had any kind of slide. I think it's just that these sort of unique talents in Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren just rose above him. I mean, Banchero and Holmgren played against each other in Las Vegas in November, and Banchero was awesome. I mean, he played, especially in the first half. I think he had 20-some in the first half.
Yep.
And Duke wound up winning the game. But Holmgren is a better shot blocker. And I think the Holmgren's body, troublesome old school thinkers like me, you know, my Neanderthal basketball brain says that body wouldn't have worked in the 90s. He's built a little bit like Sean Bradley.
Yes.
But he's really tough. Now, Banchero is a walking mismatch. You know, 6'10", he's 260. He's really skilled, but he's a power player on top of it. And so he gets to the rim and finishes with power. He's really improved his shooting. He only shot 33% from three, but he's a good shooter. And the one thing, Stephen A., is he hasn't been a high-level defender. Mm-hmm. He is a really good passer, too, but hadn't been a high-level defender. I think that's the next step for him. But all three of those guys, I don't see any of the three failing. It's just a question of how well they do. And you know, going back to Jabari Smith, like, he's a better shooter than Banchero. I think he's a much better defender. That's a big difference between those two, is Smith is the better defender.
Let me go with some of these guards out here, because one of the people that you're hearing a lot about is Jaden Ivey out of Purdue. A lot of people like him. They think about him at four, but obviously you think about the Kings and you see the fact that they've got, you know, Mitchell and, of course, De'Aaron Fox there. You say, no, you're in Detroit. Cade Cunningham is their guy. So likelihood the best spot for him is at number six with Indiana. Talk to me about Ivy out of Purdue and what the belief is about him. A lot of people seem to be really high on him.
Yeah, Stephen, and I'm one of those that's really high on him. In other draft years, he'd be a top three pick. And I think he's almost a no-brainer at number four. I wouldn't fail to pick that kind of talent because of a need issue, or you've got somebody like him. You know, I asked the Portland Trailblazers in 1984 when they had Clyde Drexler if passing on Jordan was the right thing. But Ivy is, he reminds me a little bit of Ja Morant with his speed and explosiveness. He's got that kind of speed and explosiveness. He's a shot creator. He can knock down threes. But he needs to be a better defender. I think he can be much better on that end. But he's also got the length of a guy like Dwayne Wade. Now, he's not as powerful as Wade, but he's an above-the-rim finisher. But in today's NBA, he's going to be a blur up and down the floor. He just glides. But the one thing, like, I do think he needs to make a big jump on the defensive end, because with that athleticism and speed, he's capable of impacting the game more on defense than he did at Purdue.
Now, you know, ain't no way in hell you going to be on this show with me, and I'm not going to bring up the New York Knicks. I mean, I know they're not in the top 10, they're the 11th pick. But damn it, that's where my concern lies, and I'm unapologetic about it. I'm thinking, listen, I'm hearing about this kid, Ty Washington, out of Kentucky. Obviously, I like this kid, Mark Williams. I mean, I know you got mentioned it, but I like Mark Williams in this potential, even though I think he'll probably end up in Chicago. Talk to me about Ty Washington in case the New York Knicks end up taking him out of Kentucky. Should I be happy with that, Jay Billis?
Not at 11. I wouldn't be happy with it there. I mean, the Knicks could trade up. You could see them do that and get a higher quality prospect. But Ty Washington's a really good player. And given how Tyrese Maxey and Emmanuel Quickley did coming out of Kentucky, that's got to make people feel a little bit better about Washington. Washington has got a really good middle game. He shot 52% on his runners and floaters. When their point guard, Xavier Wheeler, went out, he came in and took over the point and immediately set a record for assists in a game. He had 17 assists, broke John Wall's single-game assist record at Kentucky. So he can handle it. He's got three-point range. Now, I wouldn't call him a great shooter, but he can knock down threes. And he's obviously a good passer. The one thing, Stephen A., about Ty is, you know, we talk about some of these players that played, Johnny Davis of Wisconsin, played his best in the biggest games, you know, averaged 25 points a game against top 25 competition. Against the best teams that Kentucky played, Ty did not play his best. He averaged under 10 points a game, 35% from the field, 22% from three. Is that a disqualifying factor? No, but it's a note to make. I have Washington more in the 15 to 20 range. I think there are better players, better prospects, I should say, where the Knicks will be drafting. And certainly if they trade up, he wouldn't be a possibility there. But your point about Mark Williams is good. I think that's about where I had Williams slotted is like 10 to 12 because he's a big time shot blocker, rim runner. And he shoots like 74% from the free throw line. He's the only guy in the country that shot 70% from the field, which with all the dunks he has, you'd expect. But shooting over 70% from the foul line indicates that he may be able to stretch that range out a little bit more as he matures.
Last question for you. Who's the sleeper in this draft? Who's the guy that we should be talking about a hell of a lot more than we have been talking about leading into this draft tonight?
There are a few of them that a couple have already been identified, like Shaedon Sharpe at Kentucky, who didn't play this last year. He reclassed. Dyson Daniels out of the G League. Is a great defender, excellent passer, just sort of built for the NBA. One guy I would point out is Malachi Branham from Ohio State. He is just a freshman, went to the same high school as LeBron James, St. Vincent St. Mary. He was Ohio High School Player of the Year. Last 10-11 games at Ohio State, he averaged about 20 points per game, shot 55% from the field. He's a very talented player that I think we could look back in this draft and say, how was he taken number 20 when he should have been taken in the top 10? He's that kind of talent. Whether he realizes on that talent or not, that's always the question with the NBA draft. But I really like him.
Jay Billis, a wealth of knowledge, as always. Thank you so much. We'll be watching you tonight on ESPN. And Stephen A., now that's a nice sport quote, so take notes.
Yes.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And we pay homage to all the women and all the men that supported those women. Today marks the 50th anniversary of the Title IX and the landmark legislation that prohibits sex-based discrimination in schools. Title IX dramatically altered the landscape for sports for women. And 50 years later, names like Serena Williams, leagues like the WNBA, legacies like the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team are a part of everyday sports conversation. But as we celebrate, equality remains a work in progress. The story of Title IX is still being written, and the next 50 years starts right now. And we'll be asking Sue Bird about this in just a moment. Now we transition to the NBA. Stephen A., the Lakers, could they entice Kyrie Irving to leave Brooklyn? According to NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski, they are considered the most significant threat for the Nets. Star point guard Irving and LeBron, of course, were teammates for 4 years in Cleveland and won a championship together. Here's Woj with more.
Big part of this decision, these negotiations are built around how it impacts Kevin Durant. He wants Kyrie Irving back. He understands that with him and with a healthy team, this is still a championship contender. And the Nets do have concern, and rightfully so, that if Kyrie Irving leaves, would Kevin Durant ask for a trade? But also, listen, there's some concern that the fatigue that others have felt around him and the drama that has surrounded him, you know, that at some point Kevin Durant can feel some of that fatigue too. But it is a line the Nets are trying to walk this week to get a deal done with Kyrie Irving, find some common ground there that keeps this team together.
Okay, now we bring back Wendy and Monica McNutt. Monica, let me just say again, I can't wait to see you part of draft coverage, and I know the fit's going to be fire. So that's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Tell me this. Is it fair for KD to want out if Kyrie leaves, Monica?
I think so, Molly. I think this is where we are in the league, where there are a handful of guys that can say what they want, and teams will move to make that happen. We've seen it with Kyrie. We've seen it with James Harden. KD is of that same ilk and caliber of player. Personally, and I'm inclined to believe that he would stay because I still think he's a guy that other players want to come and play alongside. But if he did want out, it would not shock me. I think these guys have proven their value. They've proven the box office nature, to use Stephen A's word. And that's the league that we are currently living in terms of the landscape. He has the status to do that. And so if he did want out, it would not shock me. Like I said, I do hope that he stays. He's a guy that has talked endlessly about kind of just being able to find peace, not so much happiness, because he believes that's a fleeting idea. I don't know how much he does or does not love the situation in Brooklyn apart from Kyrie, but it would not surprise me if that's what we get into should Kyrie no longer be a Brooklyn Net.
Go ahead, Wendy.
You know, the Nets didn't start this process without being aware of this danger. It wasn't like it just occurred to them that KD might be unhappy when Kyrie decided to seek his other options. They are taking a calculated risk here that what they're doing is ultimately going to help their team, not only because it may give them some flexibility to sign other players. They've got some other free agents that they may want to keep, like Bruce Brown and Nick Claxton. And I'm not saying that it's an either or with Kyrie and those guys, but if you get Kyrie in a contract that gives them some more flexibility, it might help their team. And it also may reset things with Kyrie. So part of why they're doing this is that they think this could potentially be a healthier environment for Kevin Durant. If Kyrie, though, and that's not why you're asking. You're not asking for that nuance. What you're asking about is if Kyrie walks to the Lakers, takes a $30 million pay cut, sticks it to him and says, I'm walking, what does Kevin Durant do? My feeling is that he would be very disappointed that the team would be farther away from a championship. I still think this Nets roster has a lot going for it. I think Ben Simmons is a type of defensive playmaker that could potentially be a big difference for a team whose defense was holding them back last year. I think you put Seth Curry and Joe Harris on the floor with Kevin Durant. Even with Ben Simmons out there, you have tremendous floor spacing. I think Steve Nash has gotten better as a coach as time has gone on. I think this Nets team has a lot going for it, but I would point out, and because I know not all fans always compute all this because it's complicated, I get if Kyrie were to leave, if he were to do what I would think is incredibly impossible and walk away from a guaranteed $30 million to go to the Lakers, that would not mean that the Nets would have salary cap room. They are so far over the over the cap and tax that even if that $37 million came off the books, they still wouldn't really be able to go out and sign another player. And that is one of the things that Kyrie is kind of holding over on them, and why KD, I'm sure, is watching very closely.
You know, long before I showed up on television as a commentator, Wendy, you would remember I was a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And I bring up stuff like that because you wake up in the morning, Eminem, and you think about what's percolating and what angles have not been explored and things of that nature. Because, again, you sort of shape and frame stories. You take the news. You don't fabricate anything. But what you do is you say 1 + 1 = 2, if not literally, potentially. And you connect dots. And so on one hand, I find myself incredibly interested in Brooklyn holding the line and saying, you didn't want to listen. You want to do things your own way. You don't want to follow no rules and regulations. You want to be your own boss. You want to do what the hell you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, but you got your hand out for our money. Well, we tired of that nonsense. In order for us to have a team and to legitimately compete for a championship instead of going past the first round once in 3 years, we going to need you to step up and uphold your end of the bargain so we ain't giving you a damn thing other than what your contract stipulates, okay? You guaranteed $36.9 million if you opt in. We're willing to pay you that. And based on what you show us, once you make that commitment, then we could talk about you getting more money down the pipe. But we've honored our commitment to you. You haven't honored our commitment, your commitment to us. I want the Brooklyn Nets to do that because I want to see what Kyrie's going to do. And you know why I want to see what Kyrie's going to do? Because you said KD was your boy. Wendy knows this. KD doesn't come to Brooklyn unless Kyrie said, let's go to Brooklyn. KD was going to be in the Big Apple. Am I shaking my head? You shaking your head? No. Am I wrong about that? Am I wrong about that, Wendy?
I'm saying you're right.
That's
right. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely right. He's not coming to Brooklyn unless Kyrie said, let's roll to Brooklyn. So I'm KD, and I came to Brooklyn because of you. And you going to just roll out on me? And go and join the dude that you walked away from two teams earlier, who halts you on a chip with, and you basically said, no, he ain't my boy, you my boy. You gonna do that, Kyrie? I'm interested in seeing that, number one. Number two, are you gonna do it for $30 million less, which is even greater insult? And not only that, on top of it all, y'all, this is where I connect the dots. This is where that cynic comes in me, Wendy. That columnist comes in, okay? That reporter, all of this stuff that comes into play. Are we sure KD ain't in on all of this? Are we sure that Kyrie is taking the position that he's taking and KD don't have no problem with it? So KD could have a perfect excuse to bounce out of Brooklyn. We don't know. Like we've articulated, there's plenty of dudes that are marquee dudes that if they want out, they can get out. And if you KD, even though you got 3 more years to go on your deal, the fact of the matter is, if Adrian Wojnarowski is right, which he usually is, and he's talking about how there's concern as to whether or not KD will want out, why is it beyond the realm of comprehension that Kyrie is taking this position and KD don't have a problem with it because KD don't mind the thought of ultimately ending up out of Brooklyn because he tired of all the nonsense. See, if I'm Marks and I'm Josiah, I'm thinking about all this. I have no knowledge of this. KD is the pristine superstar. He shows up to work. He wants to play all the time, and that's all he want to do. He ain't trying to own that. KD's definition of drama is tweeting people back and clapping at him. He don't get no trouble. He's a model citizen. He's a businessman. He's an absolute superstar. I believe when healthy, the best player on the planet. I take him ahead of LeBron. I take him ahead of the Greek Freak. I take him ahead of everybody. That's how I feel about KD. But that's KD the player. KD The dude that is the leader hasn't said a word about Kyrie publicly. We gotta believe that Marks and Josiah and them are not taking this position against Kyrie Irving unless KD gave the okay. And if he did get it okay, why? So he can rely on Ben Simmons? Really? I don't see that. So all I'm trying to say is that my antennas are up. My wheels are circling, y'all. And I'm looking at all of this. And I'm saying, go ahead, Kyrie. Stir all of this in motion. I want to see if you're going to walk away from your boy, your brother, you whatever the hell y'all do with y'all little symbols and signs and all of that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the hell y'all do, you're going to walk away from $30 extra million to rejoin LeBron, and that's against your brother? Really? I hope that Josiah and Sean Marks hold the line. Go ahead, Kyrie. What you gonna do? Let's find out. Let's find out. That's right. You don't know anything. Wendy, tell me I'm lying. Is that not possible? It ain't possible. I ain't making this up. We're deducing their facts, and we're saying, okay, these are the scenarios. Which one is it? Pick one. It's one of them.
One thing I've thought about is, you know, Durant extended his contract last summer, 4 years, $198 million. He didn't have to do that.
That's right.
He would have gotten a big money this summer no matter what. Even if he had gotten hurt again, he'd have gotten big money.
Right.
He did it for two reasons. One, because he thought that Harden and Kyrie were also going to extend. That didn't happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the other reason he did that is because if you're a player of his caliber, your contract doesn't matter. The contract is over when you say it's over. So I think a player of Kevin's caliber has the luxury of being able to maneuver regardless of his contract. So I can't rule that out, but I still will come back to this. The Brooklyn Nets, with Kyrie Irving actually playing, Durant healthy, Simmons playing and healthy, Harris playing and healthy, that's a good team.
But what
and that team is still on the table.
Kyrie?
And there's no reason to break it up.
I think the Lakers are a title contender with Kyrie. I think the Lakers are a title contender with Kyrie, too.
There's no doubt about Kyrie's caliber of talent.
No doubt. Yeah. Zero. By the way, just so y'all know because we got to go, the divorce rate in the United States is pretty high. There are people who get married all the time and swear their love and devotion to one another, and it don't work out. That's not beyond the realm of comprehension with KD and
Kyrie.
Let me
just say this. You know what? Stephen A. used to be an insider, and he also works surveillance for the mob, you know, so he moonlights doing that. So he would know a thing or two. Brick on General Hospital. Yeah, yeah. Check the receipts.
Yeah,
okay?
Check
in the mood.
Check the receipts.
Oh, like pray for me.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's time to give some flowers. This year will mark the end of an era in women's basketball as Sue Bird announced last week that this season would be her last and she will retire. Bird tweeting, I've loved every single minute and still do, so gonna play my last year just like this little girl played her first. Now, it's hard to sum up a career like Sue Bird. She won two NCAA titles at UConn and was Player of the Year. She won five Olympic gold medals. Bird is also the only WNBA player ever to win a title in three different decades. Talk about impressive. Tim Duncan, John Sally are the only NBA players to do it. A true icon, and she joins us now. Sue, good morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you guys for having me. It's good
okay,
to see you.
Okay, so you see our merch we've got here. You can buy this on the ESPN shop on Amazon. And obviously we're getting to you, but Sue, it's an important day. So I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Today marks 50 years since the passing of Title IX that gave women the equal opportunity for education. I want to mention that. It was education and also to play. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that 50 years ago we didn't have these rights. What is the significance of Title IX to you?
For me, it's kind of twofold. One, I feel really lucky. I never knew a world without Title IX. I always had opportunity. There was like one time when I was super little where I had to play on a boys' soccer team. And otherwise, I've always had the chance to play. So what Title IX is, it just means opportunity. Like I said, I'm now 41. I'm about to retire. So I think that's the good thing. The second part of it is, as much as we always need to celebrate history, I would love a world where we're not still hearing stories where people have to be held accountable in terms of Title IX. Recently, I saw in San Diego State, there's a lawsuit happening. So I feel like the next 50 years, hopefully we're just celebrating the history because all women have opportunity. All girls have opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's wonderful to see you as always. I'm so proud of you, so happy for you. And I've got to ask you about the WNBA because I'm just so proud of that product. What the WNBA is doing for basketball and for the world of sports, period. What do you believe it has done to this point to support Title IX?
Oh, I think we're all just walking examples of what happens when you're able to have the opportunity. So I'm a good example, like I said, in terms of that opportunity. But where I'm a bad example, I guess, is I didn't necessarily have the WNBA to look to dream towards. And so now what you're seeing is the WNBA is, you know, 25 plus years, we're here, and you have little girls who are able to see a professional league on their home soil, and they get to dream. So one thing impacts the other as you go through history. And now what you're seeing is, like I said, little kids who got to dream about this league. And that changes everything. It changes everything. It changes everything in their lives. It changes everything in terms of the success of the league and the impact we can have. So it's been pretty incredible.
So I mentioned all your accolades, and it's beyond impressive. And now that you're kind of looking back, I know you still have one more season, but this final ride here, what are you most proud of?
Oof. I mean, I like to say I feel lucky that this is an impossible question to answer. I think you mentioned it, the winning in different decades. I think when it's all said and done, people are going to talk about certain things. I hope one day, you know, women's basketball is on First Take and you're debating who is the best point guard ever. And those debates are fun and they're necessary. I think for me, what I'll always represent, it's not the points, assists, it's the winning and it's the longevity. So the winning in different decades, it speaks to being able to stay at the top of your game. Something Richard Jefferson said on ESPN recently, like that is the hard part. So I think when it's all said and done, that'll be something I'm super proud of.
What was the moment where you said to yourself, this is it, this is my last season, it's over for me? And what exactly motivated you to say it at that moment?
I've probably said it to myself like 50 times in the last 2 years. it's been an ongoing conversation for me. But it finally, oddly, people had told me like, you're just going to know. Like at some point you're just going to know. And I didn't really believe it, but that means I just wasn't ready. And it was really heading into this training camp, heading into the season. I looked at the schedule. I saw our last game against New York was June 19th. And I thought, oh man, that's going to put a little pressure on this. And as that kind of inched closer, I realized, you know, being from New York, I wanted to share that with my friends. I wanted to share that with my family. And it did have a different, I don't know, there was just a different vibe to it, seeing all the faces that have been a part of my journey through the years in the crowd, seeing them after. It was super special. The New York Liberty was amazing in honoring me. And it's something, it's a memory I'm going to carry with me for a lifetime.
So, you know, I'm going to do it. What was it like being a part of UConn women's basketball and just that legacy? I'm serious. All of you, greats, Diana, Gina. I mean, I can go on and on, honestly, because it's such a treat. And I'm so proud that I just went there and sat in the stands.
We claim you.
And carrying it.
We claim you. We appreciate the support on here. It was amazing. It set the foundation for all of us as players. just the mental toughness it took to get through those 4 years. And now that, you know, I'm graduated, obviously a long time ago, all of us, we have bragging rights. It's kind of nice to know your school continues to do it, continues to win. So whether you're in a WNBA locker room or you're hanging out with some other friends who went to other schools, you've always got the bragging rights. It's kind of nice.
Well, let me be very, very clear, Sue Bird. I love me some UConn women's basketball. I've known Gina Auriemma for years, and you can't find anybody that loves Diana Taurasi more than me. That's my girl right there. I mean, I love the hell out of her. But I got to say this to you.
Hold on one second. They were so good on TV together, too.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
Taurasi and Bird. That was so much fun watching you.
Let me tell you something else.
When I get on Molly
about UConn, it ain't about the UConn women's basketball team. It's about that dag on football team that she was bragging about. She went at work, or she took a Saturday to go see them, okay? I don't know why. But anyway, let me ask you this question. So, you know, you've been in a conversation about being on the Mount Rushmore of women's basketball. I want to know, how do you feel about where you stand in the pantheon of women's basketball overall?
God, I've never really thought about it. I mean, I feel pretty good because I know for me, my role on teams, what I've always taken pride in, you know, the way I play the game, it was always about winning, right? And that's why, you know, sometimes I've been saying recently how I have no regrets. Of course, there's a game here and a championship there that I've lost that I'm sad about. But I mean, I really played this game to have fun as a little kid. And then you get older and you're like, wait a minute, winning's really fun. That's what's fun. So I always tried to win, and I feel like, you know, my resume kind of speaks for itself in that regard. So it doesn't really matter where people rank me. I know that I won. I know that I was a winner. I know I helped teams win, and that's really all that matters to me.
I have two more questions for you before we let you go. First, sorry, Stephen. First of all, what's next? I mean, after this year, I know you're going to go out, you're going to crush it, but we saw Bird and Taurasi on TV. I mean, that was a show. Come on, you just talked about you like to win. I know you're not just going to hang out and just be chilling in Europe for the rest of your life.
No. Yeah, I mean, I do feel like I need like a little bit of detox maybe.
Okay.
Just like enough. A little bit of like somewhere on an island. I don't know.
Yeah. That never hurts.
But yeah,
check it out.
No, that never hurts. That never hurts. But we'll see. I mean, we had an amazing time doing that Bird and Taurasi show. We had no idea what we were doing. And I actually think that helped. Because we got to just wing it. We had amazing guests. We had people hit us up after the Final Four weekend, being like, yo, next time you do that, like, hit me up. I want to come on as a guest. It's like, okay. So I wouldn't be surprised if we figure something out. But I'm excited to see what else is out there. I feel like I'm going to be young again in this world. So a lot of learning to do, but I think it's going to be fun.
Excuse me, you are still young. 40 is the new 30. Please don't ever forget
Tell that to my teammates.
You have a whole other career.
Tell that to my teammates.
Please. You're like fine wine, just getting better with age. They can learn. All right. In a more serious subject here, though, Brittany Griner. And I know you've been very vocal about this subject. And I just want to give you a chance to tell people what we can be doing to help getting BG home.
Yeah, at this point, I think it's just about being as loud as possible, talking about it as much as possible. Obviously, you guys, I've seen you talk about it on your show anytime you can address it, because at this point, it seems like pressure is what's going to get the job done. So I know for all of us in the WNBA, we tweet the amount of days she's been gone. Obviously, we miss her dearly, but we're tagging the president, we're tagging the White House, we're tagging the vice president, because that's what it's going to take. And at this point, I don't think any platform is too small. Everybody can get involved in this because we miss BG dearly. We want her to be home. We want her to be safe. We want her to be healthy with her wife. So that's pretty much what we've been doing.
So I got to ask you this, and I've asked this to Angela, Ryan, various others. Vladimir Putin, this is who we're talking about here. We're talking about this man. I want to know, is there any trepidation, any concern whatsoever that all the noise that clearly needs to be made in support of Brittany Griner coming home, any concern at all that that could have the reverse effect that we're wishing for because we're talking about Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, no, I think that was the concern early on. And that's why a lot of us in our league stayed as quiet as possible. We didn't want her to become a political pawn. But the big difference, and I saw your segment with Angela, and the big difference is that she got categorized as wrongfully detained. And in our law, that is a huge difference, because now the U.S. government can actively try to get her home. Before you get categorized as that, it's a little different. Mm. And we didn't want her to become a political pawn, but the reality is she is. That's the reality. She is a political pawn. And so from our side of things, this side of the water, we need to put pressure on our government to do their best to figure it out with Putin.
Absolutely. Sue, thank you so much for being with us. And after you take your short respite down the road, come in studio, and you can debate Stephen A. in person and, you know, school him a little bit. Teach him a little bit about basketball.
I don't mind being schooled by you.
Teach him a little bit about basketball.
I don't mind being schooled by you, Sue Bird. I mind being schooled by her.
No.
Okay?
But Sue,
not
okay.
You.
Sue, that would be
I'm like,
fine.
JJ and CJ got you good, so I feel like it's all taken care of.
They tried.
No, they tried.
I mowed them down.
We can use your voice, too. Irrational confidence to my right. All right, Sue, thank you so much. Best of luck in this final season.
No, thank you, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
I just want you to know that I did not request that clip. That's all him.
I did not do that. Why are you lying? I did not request that. I don't have to, because you know, and I can prove it wasn't me, Eminem. If it were me, I would have just said replay me picking the Warriors, not you picking against them.
That's true.
That's absolutely true.
That's true.
But as our big brother Stephen A. has said, sometimes you're wrong. And I was wrong. And that's fine. I've already addressed this on my Twitter account. I will absolutely take it on the chin. I was absolutely wrong. I did not mean that as a slight at those guys, but I didn't see it. And I think the way that the Warriors were able to revamp, kudos, salute to them. It was a true privilege to be able to take it all in person. It was funny during our post-game interview after they won with Clay. I don't know if Clay knew that I also said that, but he was like, you know, Monica, we hear everybody. The dynasty's over. And I just started laughing because I was like, yeah, I said that too. How wrong could I have been?
Yes.
So I was wrong. It's cool. Nobody
well, you know what, Monica?
He came up to me and thanked me because he knew.
I can't hear it again.
There's a statute of limitations for how many times
please.
You can say
Warriors.
Just
please.
Like to stop. Listen, somebody put a muzzle on him, please.
Not just that,
I need
because
that.
I'm picking them again.
Around the horn when
they're picking them again.
When Tony can
you need
people,
a mute button.
I need a mute button.
You know what? That is the one show, all seriousness. That is the one show on ESPN I have never, nor will I ever appear on, which is Around the Horn.
Because you're scared of the mute button.
No one, and I'm not scared. No one is muting me. That ain't happening. Just the fact they got a mute button, I ain't showing up.
The great and Tony Reale is an incredible host. Shout out
he's a great
to
guy.
All
he's
of
a great
the
guy.
Behind the scenes folks. I actually would love to see you on Around the Horn. That'd be
it
hilarious.
Will never happen.
But it is an art. It is an art to be able to deliver within the time frame. But
it doesn't matter.
Okay.
No
this
one is
too much
me.
About you. I want
no
this to be about
me.
The Warriors. Monica, I want to give you a chance for redemption because I'm all about second chances in life.
Thank you.
Do you think the Warriors will win back-to-back titles?
Oh, man. Listen, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice. I don't know if you're going to fool me twice. Here's the thing. This group is, I remember we were on Get Up and Jay Will said, there's a window that now looks to be open for the next 3 years. And I was like, 3 years? Come on now. They got some role players that are having a great run. Like, come on. But honestly, when you look at what they're able to do in terms of developing talent, the way that Steph is completely locked in and continues to work on his body, I loved the quote from him where he was talking about a year ago. he was working on his body for this year's finals. There's nothing that the Warriors organization does without a finals and a championship in mind. So could you see them repeating? I absolutely think that's feasible. Like, that is legitimately feasible. I wonder, out of the East, how much the Celtics grow. I wonder if the Bucks are healthy, who could be their possible biggest threat. But this, if they continue to stay healthy and those role players continue to grow, you know what you're going to get out of Steph Curry. Draymond Green, you know what you're going to get from him. I think Klay is getting better and getting back to form. I don't think that he reached pre-injury form this season, but I think that's in the forecast.
We got to let you go.
It's really hard.
Let me say this real quick. People need to mention the name Joe Lacob, the owner for the Golden State Warriors. He ain't playing. This man wants Jerry Buss numbers. He wants to surpass the Lakers and the Goldens, and I'm sorry, and the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
This is not a man that is sitting around and saying, I got four now and I'm good. This is a man that's saying, I got four. We going to get five next year.
All in.
Like, immediately.
Strength in numbers.
The night they won the title. That's four. That's four. He's coming and he's willing to spend the money. Beware.
Okay, Monica.
The only thing that I will add
is
they continue to be the standard. Obviously, people are coming for them. And so winning is never something we should take for granted. That's all I got.
All right, Monica, what color tonight?
I'm not sure yet. I got some things coming to the hotel, Molly. It might be white. I really like the top that I have, but I'm not sure.
You better get on that. All right, have fun tonight. You're going to kill it. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Is Kyrie's time in Brooklyn over? The point guard and the team are at odds over a contract, according to our Adrian Wojnarowski. A team that has been circulating, if interested, would be Stephen A's Knicks. Wendy back with us. Wendy, should the Knicks prioritize getting Kyrie Irving?
Just for the Stephen A content, I'd love to see it. But I am definitely aware of the Knicks very, very much looking for a point guard, and they have options. They have the 11th pick tonight. They, I think, would be very interested in trading up to try to get Jaden Ivey with the Sacramento Kings at four, but that would be a huge price tag. I don't know if they can pull it off. Malcolm Brogdon is available for trade. I have been told the Knicks have talked with the Pacers. He's a professional point guard. He could help them, but they are not willing to include the 11th pick. I don't know if they can get that done, but they're in that sweepstakes. They've been looking at Jalen Brunson for months. Leon Rose, their team president, held Jalen as a baby. They just hired his father. This would make the most sense. But that would require them to go all in for Kyrie Irving. And I still think that's the fourth option, Stephen A. I don't like those chances. You can see they've got other options than just Kyrie.
I would go after Brogdon, but I got a different twist to all of this. Let Kyrie stand pat. Let him be firm. Let him sit up there and leave and go to L.A. And then KD wants out to come to the Knicks. I'd rather have Kevin Durant than Kyrie Irving. And I know that the New York Knicks and everybody and their mother would have rather have KD than Kyrie Irving. And that's where KD should have been to begin with. I promise you this, you wouldn't see any players bucking the rules and circumvent rules and stuff like that playing under Tom Thibodeau. I promise you that. There would be order. I promise you that. Let Kyrie go and let KD come to New York Knicks. Works for me.
I promise you this, there will be fireworks tonight. The NBA draft on ESPN, ABC, the ESPN app coverage tips off 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. Stephen A., you'll be a part of it. Wendy, thank you so much. See you guys tomorrow.
Wendy.